It's Wednesday, January 16th, 2008, and you're listening to episode 87 of Fear the Boot, the show about tabletop role-playing games and a little bit more. Running time for this episode is 1 hour and 1 minute. Welcome to Fear the Boot. My name is Dan.
My name is John.
My name is Luke.
My name is Adam.
And my name is Dex.
And we've got a couple quick things to knock out of the way before we get down to the episode.
You guys smell the estrogen around here?
Yep.
Get some Febreze on that,
it's
man.
It's lingering
these
on the
mics
reek of it.
This was Phil's chair because it's really, really concentrated.
I smell Febreze and Chanel number 5.
Oh, we should know.
Or estrogen. Sorry, estrogen.
Is that the one that's like a little bit of Monica?
I wish it were.
Got a little bit.
Moving on.
John's sitting in Phil's chair.
Picking locks.
John's sitting in Phil's chair. Is smelling a little bit of douche number 5.
To Mealy's box.
All right.
We're going to lose our rating.
Whoops.
3 quick announcements. First of all, Fear the Con still coming up. We will link the site for it in the show notes, warhorn.net/fearthecon. If you guys have not yet signed up, please do. We'd love to have you out there. Sign up so far is looking really good.
If you have any questions, post them, email them to me, and whatever you need to do, just get them out there. I mean, I'm more than willing to surf the email.
And we also, for Worldwide Wing Night 4, just got a reservation at a place really close to the hotel we've been suggesting. And the reservation's for like 100 people. So
yeah,
Melina people better show up.
Whatever. Yeah.
That's you. Responsibility on your end now,
so
fools.
This thing looks like it's shaping up to be pretty good. So
on a gaming note, we're doing really well. Game masters who don't have people signed up, do not fret. They will show up at the door if they will play in your game. So there are going to be plenty of people. Still need more game masters. And the prize support is starting to roll in. So you guys are going to get
some
good
stuff. I know a lot of people who have not pre-regged. I don't understand because they save $2, but
$2 is
whatever.
A huge amount of money.
Yeah.
This
you
can
go to the east side on that.
This con, we're getting
almost a gallon of gas.
Yeah, you wouldn't have the gas to get to the east side on that.
way to kill the mood, John. Thanks.
Sorry,
yeah,
but,
John. Hey, can you please talk up the convention for me?
Yeah, the convention will be great. Unlike the east side, we won't have corroded strippers, but we'll have a lot of games running.
We'll have regular strippers,
in fact,
not corroded ones.
3 of the 4 people at this table will be running games themselves.
The other people who are running the convention, Adam.
I told you that if the listeners came up with some sort of charitable feat, that I would run a game.
Which is what?
He has
great cleave. That's pretty charitable in terms of rule balance.
Somebody needs to bring me a straw cowboy hat. That's all
perhaps
I know.
In
Maybe
2 weeks, I'll
overalls.
Come up with something that they should actually do before.
But yeah, okay. This
pin
is,
me.
This cash wise, I can say with great objectivity, this is a good deal. $13 in advance, $15 at the door. Get you all the beer,
yeah,
all the soda you want. We do not charge for the games, so the games are all free of charge once you're in the
you
door.
You don't charge for the games.
We're getting prizes from WotC, from
White Wolf,
CCP.
Pinnacle.
Pinnacle.
Luke wouldn't have jumped in with the Savage.
I got that in the mail this week. I'm like, wow, that's $120 worth of books. Thank you, Pinnacle.
So
awesome.
We've got tons of stuff. Second announcement is a couple people have asked about the Fear the Boot gray-colored hoodies that Adam in particular has been wearing in some of the pictures we've posted
Man.
On the Fear
right,
the Boot
listen,
website.
This is not marketing hype. This is me telling you a product that I enjoy. That hoodie has gotten me through the winter.
Well, let me tell you where
he wears that happy crappy everywhere.
Let me tell you where it came from to demonstrate that this is not marketing hype. We have never sold that product. What happened was Geek Label, who we've talked about in the past, decided just for the heck of it to mock up 4 FTB 9000 compliant Fear the Boot hoodies and sent them out to us. And we passed them around the host.
They gave tribute.
That was all that ever happened with them. We never sold them ourselves. We never sold them off Cafe Press. They never became a product. But several people have asked about them. Several of the hosts have enjoyed theirs.
Yeah.
So Adam got
Mine
in contact.
Warm and fuzzy.
I got in contact with Geek Label and I said, hey, is there any way that you guys can make this available to the public? And to facilitate making it available to the public, Fear the Boot, I don't want any money for this. So if you could turn what you would give us into a discount for the people,
right?
I'm all about
so
that.
So we are going to link this in the show notes. If you want a hoodie that, like the one that Adam's wearing, go to geeklabel.com. We'll link this in the show notes. And in the coupon, you're going to enter Fear the Boot, all one word, and that will get you, I think, 20% off the hoodie. Yeah.
Right.
Let me tell you right now, there's a very good chance this is a limited time offer for business reasons within Geek Label. So if you
actually, it's a 20% off for your entire order.
Oh, okay.
Dude, you could exploit this.
Yeah, you can exploit
this. You could exploit this. I didn't say that. I said it's a 20% off for the entire order.
Point being, though,
80% of the listeners think you did now because it was me, but continue along here. It's fine.
This hoodie.
So how quickly we have forgotten our lessons about bringing up exploitations in the banter part of the show.
How many episodes? We did that last time we were on.
Yeah. I think that last time ended pretty well.
How many episodes in a row must we bring this up? But if you want that hoodie, get out there soon, because I don't know how long they're going to be available.
Look, a lot of people make the mistake of entering the wrong code. Do not enter, "Oh, my sweet dear Lord, Luke Meyer is freaking awesome." It does not get you the discount, even though it should.
I'm going to have to go ahead and agree with Luke on this one, that you need to enter Fear the Boot.
All right. Third and final announcement. Let's get this one out quick so we can get on to the meat of the show. If you are interested in joining our Chrome Hounds group.
Woo! I brought together a Chrome Hounds group. Yeah. My favorite cream. I revived it!
Luke's a dork. I'm starting a Deus Ex guild.
I'm enjoying...
I started Quake 2 guild.
Action Quake 2. Centauri Corporation going?
I'm enjoying Chrome Hounds for the simple reason that's the first Battletech game since MechWarrior 1.
Chrome Hounds has always been my favorite live game, but people quit playing it. Now I have an active crew, right, and it's awesome. So people, join up. We are the Iron Tyrants. That is with an S, and we are on. We fight for Salcar. The code is up, 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 up. People have to be on to approve you.
Yeah, just
we
have four times.
That's we have one reserve slot waiting for Tex to come over, but we have other than that, I think we have six other slots left. I have a few people who may be joining, but if you beat them, I'm not going
to
complain.
And if you want to just flesh out your friends list, if you also look in the show notes, we will have a link to the threads where we have our Xbox Live gamer tags, the PS3 gamer tags, and the Wii friend codes.
My friends list is full.
If you're looking to fill up your friends list with people from Fear the Boot, you can find us all on there.
And if you're too cool for Xbox and want to find me and Adam on Steam, we're on there.
That's right.
I'm playing TF2, probably stabbing you and everyone you know, and then sapping your sentries.
And he's also playing Team Fortress 2.
He said TF2.
He just said.
No, I was making a joke.
Oh, I get it.
I'm stabbing you and everyone you know. And then
I'm playing TF2 and probably stabbing everyone you know.
Right, those could be two separate actions.
All right, yada, yada, yada.
Thank you, Grammar King. All right, now, let's get down to some surreal subjects here. Luke, you got
surreal
it.
Surreal subjects?
What?
Some real subjects. Good Lord.
Grammar
said surreal. You said surreal.
I'm surrounded by morons.
You're taking too many drugs.
Oh, yeah. You calm it down over there. Fourth of a beer.
So far, you've had a quarter of that beer and a quarter of the beer at the restaurant. So you've had half a beer.
I had the entire beer at the restaurant.
What is Luke going to talk about?
I think somebody here needs to go to Meyer Eye Care and get his damn eyes.
What is Luke going to talk about? Oh, God.
Wait, what do I want to talk about, Dan?
Luke wants to talk about... He got an email about dealing with, quote-unquote, that one player.
Yeah, I got... this is a pretty frequent thing. Like, people will email us with very specific problems, which is really weird, because it's just like, okay, well... but I got an email about it, about a guy who's gaming with somebody who is just ruining the game, who is distracting everybody, and other players are tempted to quit. And there are all these concessions like, well, we can't kick him out because, you know, he buys stuff at the gaming store where we play, so the owner who plays it won't like it, and he's ruining a game, kick him out. And don't do the passive-aggressive stuff like reschedule and don't tell him or anything like that. Just tell him, look, sorry, right, you're not part of the group anymore.
Let's break this down to
life is too short for bad gaming, Dan.
I agree and disagree with you.
Well, life
it depends
is too short
on who
for
this
bad
guy
gaming.
Is. If this guy is one of
Say
the
again,
your
Luke.
Core group of friends,
two times enough.
Then I'm going to disagree with you.
Right. Well, yeah, but this guy is, I mean,
well,
who would
also,
be a friend
do you
with
think
that guy?
You could give this guy a warning and maybe give him a chance to alter his offending behavior, or is he aware
generally
that he's
by
being
the time
obnoxious?
You're complaining, it's already too late for that. You've already given a warning, and people are mad
generally,
and ready to go.
Generally, the offender is a Cole who won't change it anyway.
Socially inept would be the key word.
I was going to say, look.
we can say Cole. That's PG-13.
Oh, no, we can't say Cole.
A rooster can also be known as a cock. And he who is in charge of roosters might be called a master. This guy is apparently a master. And I think at some point we have all gamed with a master. Now, the problem is this. a lot of times there is some kind of social liability tied up in ejecting this person.
Yes.
Most of my life is ruled by social liability. And you know what? I got bad news for everybody out there. So is yours.
Well, I'm agreeing with you.
Cheers.
I know.
That's my point.
I'm agreeing with you. Right.
Okay, so by you mean the listener. You don't mean me.
Yeah,
okay.
The royal you.
Right. Because
talk about the royal you. I've had a fight over that with that one player.
Ouch. Jeez, John.
If you've got a gaming group, and we're just going to say that it consists of, you know, let's just take the people on the mics right now. And Luke is a rooster leader. But Luke is really good friends with Tex, which Tex's standards are falling.
Yeah,
but
they've come to snuff the Lukester.
Yeah! Whoa.
But here's the point that out Luke,
he's dead now.
Tex goes too, if we kick out Luke, Luke's got the best gaming place, or Luke owns all the gaming books, or, like I said, maybe
always concessions.
Listen.
There's always a price to be paid.
The entirety of my advice on this entire subject is going to boil down to this. It's not personal. It's gaming.
But nobody takes it that way.
I wish they did, but listen.
Whenever your boss says to you it's not personal, it's just business, it's personal.
That's what Michael
I'll disagree with that because I just had to cut somebody's hours down because of business.
Because, I mean, quite frankly,
But why did you pick them instead of somebody else?
Because they're terrible.
Exactly. Whenever a boss says to you it's not personal, it's just business, it's personal.
That's not personal. I mean, evaluating my business. You're good. You're not pulling your weight. Your hours are cut. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all about that. I mean, it's not personal. It's gaming.
I run a meritocracy in both my game and my business.
I can't disagree with that. But I think that's the way it should be run.
Is that your basic advice of damn the consequences, kick them out?
To a point. I mean, you have to get to...
It's easier to say on the microphone than it is to...
Yeah, you have to get to that point to do it. But life is too short for bad gaming. If somebody's ruining everybody's fun time, if you've talked to them, if you've done everything you can, boot them. I mean, you can't...
I agree with both Luke and John.
They have to fear the boot.
That while, hey, it's not personal, it's gaming, doesn't really compare to...
Nope.
Okay, you need to leave the group because you suck.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, there's not a...
That conversation is hard and doesn't really take place.
Yeah. Unless it's a whole group, like an intervention. I've done it.
I had a ninja kitty in my first college group who was the archetypal bad character. Tricked his character out with all these Frankenstein tricks, pickpocketed everyone else, stole a wizard's spellbook.
What are Frankenstein tricks? Like,
Frankenstein tricks are like... I have this array of stats and skills, and now my character is 1,000 times better than anyone else.
Right, he's talking about
nothing is wrong with that intrinsically, but if you haven't exploited...
You regenerate HP when stuck by electricity?
Yes, exactly.
Or you have carriage bolts sticking out of your neck?
That as well. But anyway, I actually broke this kid's will on a rules dispute. Somebody rolled a natural 1, and he insisted that on a natural 1, you drop your weapon or stab yourself, and I said... Find that rule in any D&D core rulebook from the last 20 years. And he was like, well, that's just how it's always done. And I said, point it to me in text. And you can't do it because it's nowhere. He left.
It's very rarely that easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's the exception. Not the
remember
rule.
That. There are always consequences to your actions. Whatever decision you make, take responsibility for. If they're an ass, they need to take responsibility for that. But if you kick them out, there are going to be repercussions. Be ready for them. Done.
Well, here's the question, too, then. Do you want the whole group to tell them, we're sorry, we don't want to play with you anymore? Or do you elect one person to, take him out to lunch and break it to him gently?
Are you Adama? Or are you the president? Who are you?
Do you break up with him on Friday so he has the weekend to tell his friends? Or do you break up with him on Monday so he can distract himself?
I don't know. I think it's pretty clear in most gaming groups who the... I don't want to use the term alpha male.
Hatchet man.
Alpha male is... There's one guy who is clearly the leader, and usually it's the guy who's GMing at the time. And the guy, it's kind of his responsibility. I mean, the GM's responsibility is always, is everybody at the table having fun? And if people aren't, it's kind of the GM's responsibility to make that a priority.
Completely agreed. And on that topic, you need to, again, talk to the person first. Come across if people aren't having fun, it's because of them, and see if they... can change their ways, because sometimes they either won't or just don't understand because they have no grasp of social concepts. And if that's the case, boot them. I have no
That's
qualms.
An unfortunate side
Are there informal rules like you're supposed to boot them out in person versus over email or phone call if you've had character leveling?
Well, if you're a man, you'll do it in person.
Do it in person. You don't want to do it over anything else.
Yeah, I'm going to have to, in the end, agree with Luke on this one, that I think there's going to be a lot of social fallout, and there's a lot of things that are going to go bad when you kick somebody out of your group. But in the end, the point of gaming is to get together, to have fun, to distract yourself from the real world. And if there's somebody that is ruining that, that is taking away, and we as a society are entirely too busy as it is. And if someone is taking away the enjoyment of your limited hobby time, they have to go. And that takes balls. That's not easy. And there's probably going to be tons of fallout.
The only social fallout I want is a game that I hope is currently being developed by Bethesda.
But
But you know what? It's got to be done.
It's got to be done.
And at the end of the
day, usually in the end, too, everybody is actually relieved. I mean, once the hammer's finally dropped and the good players are together, there's usually this big...
All the players that are left are relieved. The other guy's like, oh, these guys made me mad now.
Exactly. At the end of the day, and you say, you know what? I didn't have fun because of this guy. It's kind of your responsibility. You should have taken some sort of action.
Yeah, like vis-a-vis John, life is too short for bad gaming. You only have so many hours a week to do it. You want to enjoy it when you devote your time to it.
Eventually you're going to die, and then you can't game anymore.
Then you can't game, except for in heaven. And Jesus rolls 20s. Just saying.
A cheater.
You know, I hate to be so manipulative in giving advice, but I think two of the things you need to do beforehand is, first of all, well, three things. First of all, one is the nice thing of, like Tex said, talk to the person. See if you, see if you can get somewhere with
him. Give him a text message.
Give him a warning. Try to talk it out.
Dude, I'm playing by the rules. The rules say I can do this. Why can't I do this?
The second thing I would say is, once you've done that, ascertain what the fallout's going to be, figure out how to deal with it. And the third thing is, talk to everyone but this guy first and say, look.
Conspire against him unknown to him.
You know, and I hate to put it that way, but in the end, that's what you're trying to do. If the hammer's got to fall.
That's the way it's got
to
be.
Yep.
If the hammer's got to fall, move your hand out of the way.
You have to make the Grand Coalition.
That is not gaming advice.
It can't just be Great Britain, Australia, the United States.
It's not gaming advice. That is group advice.
Yeah, pretty much.
That is the way groups operate. And you know what? It's a sad reality, but that's the way it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's socially twisted. I hate to say, well, gee, what you've got to do is go behind the scenes and preempt everyone to your side, but you know what? You have to go behind the scenes and preempt everyone to your side.
Well, it works. Tell you what, if you're to this point, people are already on your side. People are probably have told you that this person needs to go, and they're not having
fun. But there may be history there.
You hope.
They're true. Yeah, you're right. You're very right. There may be history. Or the situation. Worst case scenario, a girlfriend.
I was about to say,
girlfriend,
God help you with a significant other.
Then you're screwed.
The situation may vary with your mileage and your...
I've been in that situation where the problem person is someone to either, number one, I have a history with, to where, you know, to me, getting rid of this person from the gaming group could have consequences that reach far above and beyond just the game. That, you know, I mean, there could be a friendship on the line. Or secondly,
I've been there.
Or secondly,
been there too.
There's a disagreement about what the problem is. That we're in a group of five people, and two or three people are just being absolutely driven up on the wall by what so-and-so is doing, and I'm not bothered by it, that I can live with it. So
I don't know. This situation gets... I think I'm going to go back to what I said earlier, that your mileage may vary. I mean, because quite frankly, the situation can go both ways. You can be that guy, or you can be the guy who's honor-bound by whatever reason to stick by whomever.
No, you have to be lawful evil.
Look, and well,
I know.
And this person, whoever you kick out, is immediately going to turn around you for, if you're the game master, kick you. They're going to tell you how bad a game master you are for kicking them out. For, oh, well, you're doing this and this and this wrong and blah, blah, blah. They're going to immediately turn on you. You got to be prepared for that, just like any social group.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. This is fear the shattering of your circle of friends. A show about social isolation and a little bit more.
I don't think that it's a shattering of the social,
let's go
social
play
whatever.
MMOs, guys.
Yeah. I think that this is
LFG
group politics in general.
Yeah, it is.
All right.
Did you just say LFG?
I love that.
Let me complicate this.
Did you just Nedry squeak?
I might have squeaked.
You did.
I might have squeaked.
Let me complicate this a little further. What if it's not the person's fault? For example, What if the person has Asperger's? What if the person has some kind of social problem or emotional disturbance or whatever, something they can't help? And this is another thing where I've been on the other side of this, where there's been people in the group that have problems, and I'm not trying to sit here and puff myself up in self-righteousness, but I can say, okay, this person has a problem. I'll tolerate that for their sake. But the other people in the group aren't having any patience for that.
Well, I mean,
is it ruining the game?
That's part of going back to the classic Free the Boot quote we haven't used in a while. That goes back to your group template. If people know this going in, they should be prepared for it and willing to tolerate. But
the group template is for characters, not players.
Don't talk. I realize I made that mistake halfway into that sentence. Just don't talk about it. Don't talk about it.
I say we're not.
And you know what? I mean, I think that if you
we're into the player template.
How many extra gun skills do you get if you take Asperger's?
I think that if five people assemble and they've gamed before, they kind of go in expecting the group dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that's one of the things that you assume with the people you've gamed with before. But if it's a new group of five people, that's an unreasonable expectation to expect your players to have.
It takes a while to learn.
Exactly.
I got to take the opposite side on this one. If it's not their fault, I'd say this comes down to human compassion. Unless this person is just completely out of control, or a threat to somebody physically, or whatever.
That would be the caveat. If they truly ruined the game, there would be no point in conducting it.
Are the other players aware of this at the outset? That is a question. If they're aware there's an issue, if they're aware that they have a disorder or some sort of imbalance that doesn't make them quite as, you know, or annoys them, you know, brings down the game in some way, if the other players know and are willing to accept, fantastic.
I got to disagree with this from the complete outset. I mean, you can have a group of five people, perfectly reasonable, nobody is crazy, that do not get along.
Right.
It is entirely possible that five people you say should get along don't get along. Melina and I have a rule. We do not mix groups of friends. Her law school friends never meet this group of friends.
Kim and I have that exact same rule.
Because it never ends well.
Nope.
Just because people you don't assume will have a problem with each other will have a problem with each other invariably.
Or people form in their little small cliques of two or three people.
Exactly.
Because, I know these people from law school. I know these people from gaming. Let's not mix.
And that's just...
Unless you get somebody...
Human sociality.
Unless you're like me, I'm being the extrovert. If I was in the gaming group, I'd go over there and talk poop to the law school group and get them...
Such a poo head.
I know. Get them rocking.
Such
That's
a rooster leader.
You going to the barrister's ball, Adam?
Yeah, I am. Are you going?
Your wife wants to take me.
That's nowhere near...
I'd rather she takes you than me.
That's nowhere nearly as good as the eyeball. I'll tell you that now.
The eyeball.
And I'm not kidding. I went to the eyeball for 4 years. I proposed to my wife at the eyeball.
Man, Luke, I have never once before questioned your masculinity, but you know what? You questioned it for
dude,
me. Don't worry about it.
Dude, I proposed in the most awesome way possible. People tell stories. I'm a legend.
Fear the boot proposition stories. Come on, legendary proposition.
Proposition. You mean proposal?
Same damn thing.
Yeah, it really is.
Fear the boot proposition stories would have to have a completely different rating.
I don't want to tell the story about how I proposed to Melina. Let's go ahead and move
on.
I'm going to
one knee propose to you that I will give you this ring so I can have sex with you forever.
All right. Well, we got a little bit off topic here, so let's...
Luke, you're dirty.
Let's conclude that thought. If it's not the person's fault, my final advice on that is, like I said, if the person is not just completely destroying the experience, I would say this is a situation where it's the reverse of dealing with a problem player. You need to have some human compassion and help that person.
I agree with that.
Because you're now talking about something that's bigger than gaming, that you're not talking about giving this person a social support network, an outlet for their emotions, people they can associate with. I mean, you were talking about possibly having a massive impact in this person's life by giving them a social anchor. That if this guy is not just utterly ruining your experience, that he's just completely off his rocker or pulling knives on people at the table.
I think you need to boil it down to two categories, an inconvenience and a game wrecker.
Yeah.
An inconvenience, I think that is your, I mean, not to get moralistic, but I think it's your duty as a human being to kind of work through that. Because to say that this hobby isn't rife with people who are socially inept is an understatement.
Yeah.
To say that if you're not willing to go the lengths of trying to kind of work with somebody to become more
I know
adept with their group, that's That's laziness on your part.
Let's even move beyond just socially inept. I mean, especially if you look at the kind of life most gamers have lived. Most gamers, particularly my age on forward, have lived pretty rough, socially isolated lives.
I don't think that's entirely true. I know lots of gamers who are, you know, you've got the stereotypical gamer who's not terribly social, who, you know, has a close group of friends.
Hold on.
Wait.
I think the stereotype is true and not true.
There are true aspects and not true. But I mean, I think there are a lot of people who, I mean, well,
I'm
again,
not talking socially enough. I'm talking people that struggle with depression, people that struggle with self-image, people that struggle with anxiety.
You can put on any creative endeavor, though, because that's what the outlet for that kind of thing.
I have to wonder, too. I've been thinking here, are you starting to blur the lines between recreation and social work or recreation and charity? That, you know, if the person's a minor nuisance or whatever, that's fine. But on the flip side, am I giving up my Friday night to do something fun and recreational?
Friday night? Who games
or am
Friday
I giving
night?
Up my you Friday start... night to do something that's stressful and upsetting and tenses me out in the name of charity?
I think that's kind of the human interaction in general. I mean, if John and I go out to a bar on Friday nights and we take our buddy who's lonely and whatever, and we have to hook him up with chicks.
Yeah, Francis.
Yeah. Sorry, Francis. I think that's the same situation. No. I don't even think that's specific to gaming.
Well, I think you take that outside of the gaming as well, because, you know, if I've got that person who I'm doing, what to use your phrase, taxes, charity work with, I mean, couldn't you say that about any recreational activity?
Yeah, exactly.
True.
That, you know, when I go out to a bar on Friday night, or when I go out to see a movie, or when...
Braid your hair.
Braid my hair.
We go LARP vampire for 5 hours down at Double D around everyone who's wondering why we're throwing dice.
We sing Bauhaus songs. It's awesome.
At Denny's. you know, it's kind of the same thing that...
Yeah. I think the line is drawn in the sand, regardless of the social situation. And gaming is just one of those labels that we say, oh, well, it's the situation of gaming. But you know what? I don't even think it matters that you're gaming.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess maybe you could make the distinction that gaming is quote unquote your holy place, that you say, look, okay, I'm going to do charity work for so-and-so at the bar or at the club or at the restaurant.
Yeah, exactly.
And
I think it's kind of,
I know, but I want my gaming experience pure, but you know, I've gotten emails and
charity
I
work at the movies.
We're going to a weird extreme here. I've not encountered this, like, as far as we're taking it here.
Oh, you know what? I have.
Here's the thing. Charity situation.
Here's the thing. I have. And secondly, I cannot tell you, particularly in the earlier days of Fear the Boot, how many people emailed me saying, and specifically this one condition came up again and again, that we have a guy in our group who has Asperger's.
Uh-huh.
That one condition came up so many times, I can't count it. And they were talking about the difficulties associated in gaming with this person, but because he's their friend, they did not want to cut him out of that social interaction.
I agree with that.
My boot them requirement from really does not apply to that. There are concessions to be made. If you know somebody has a disability
precisely,
and they're your friend, you're going to work with
them. That's
it.
Exactly what we're
fun.
Talking about, though, is how far are you willing to go for the group as opposed to the individual.
And it all applies, coming back full circle, what when I said boot it, what you guys brought in is that
when you thought
how close of friends are you with them? Are you too. Is everybody there a really close friend? You're not going to boot somebody you know. You may not game anymore. You may do something else. But, I mean, it really all comes down to that. You know, what do you value? How, if you're just recruiting off the street and you pick Johnny, I'm a dork at the table, then yeah, boot him.
Well, and that's kind of maybe where I was cutting the difference with Tex, of saying, okay, that maybe you say that, like I said, gaming is your holy place. That with gaming, okay, I want no jerks, no rooster leaders,
no rooster leaders.
Because I don't know if Cockmaster is.
I know. You don't need to explain the joke to me.
No
Richard Craniums.
No. No one that has any great emotional disturbances, but those people I'm friends with who have those problems, I will go to the movies with, or I will take out to eat and find some other way to show that human compassion to them Okay, maybe there's your distinction.
Well, I mean, wait.
Right, well, that's where I was going with that, is like, if I had a friend that was, say, blind, I could probably role play with that person, but I'm not going to take him skiing.
He always rolls 20s.
Dude, it'd be funnier to take him skiing.
Oh my God, you could cheat so easily.
Oh, it'd be awesome, wouldn't it?
It'd be like Sonny Bono.
Well, Dan, you're getting an area here where you're talking about beyond charity. Like, if it's your friend you're doing that, that's not charity, that's friendship. You want to go spend some time with the guy. Go out to eat, do stuff you'll enjoy together. I mean, it's not so much charity.
Yeah, but at what point do you draw the line?
The question, too, is like, is your charitable concession to this person causing stress or ruining the enjoyment of four other people?
At what point do you draw this down to an Ultima Online tarot card question? It's probably going to balance between
Come on.
Yeah.
At what point does...
It's not justice.
Well, I want to hang out and have fun with my friend become
honesty?
Not fun.
Yeah, how am I willing to bring this friend into a group project that may not work? I mean, and what are the consequences?
See, and this is where it's hard, because if they're a jerk, it's easy. I mean, now, the consequences...
Yeah, the problem is
the consequences may be hard.
Which is usually the case. If they're a good person, they're a bad gamer.
Yeah, if they're a jerk, the consequences may be difficult, but I think the answer's simple. The execution's hard, but the answer's simple.
Oh, Dan, you'll just shoot him or punch him with your steel gloves. Come on.
Whoa, Orlando, hello.
Something's
that cat just about took a high dive leap into my Colt 45.
So right.
Hey,
Orlando.
That cat could have a good time without Colt 45.
I guess it could. It's pretty flexible.
But why risk it?
But why risk it, yeah.
All right.
Oh, that's what
next topic.
About.
I think we've taken this about as far as we can go. So let's...
And then some.
Let's roll...
Oh, I think we've belabored the extreme case.
Yeah. Our next topic is gaming stores. We're not gaming stories, but the FLGS.
Oh, well, we never talk about gaming stores on this.
I was wondering why that was up there on
the
board.
You know, so many people gave me crap because on that one episode, you guys asked me for a bad gaming story.
And you never
gave
us one?
And you never
gave
it to us.
Because I wasn't prepared. It's like I was sitting here. It's not that I don't have them.
Okay, all right.
Oh, well, then do it.
It's been several weeks.
Spotlight.
You must have come up with something.
All right, Spotlight. I'll give you a bad gaming story before we talk about gaming stores.
Hey, you're only redeeming yourself there, Chief.
I know, but I'm going to do it. Do you need me to look up where Chief came from?
No.
Oh, just stop.
Don't quit stalling. Quit diverting.
All right.
Give us your story.
Bad gaming story. This goes back to when I was first running the fastest Star Trek game and I was using my drawn maps.
Wait. How old were you?
I would have been...
13.
We were both in high school.
No,
I could drive, I was maybe 16.
This would have been 1988.
14. Whoa, stop right there. Does not count. You were learning. Get something more recent now. You can't say, my first game I ran, I really screwed up, because you did.
My gaming stories come from when I was 24.
Right. My gaming stories come from when I was like 25 or 26.
All right, fine. You just want a story where I screwed up a game.
Yes.
By my mistake recently.
Yes.
The last Danvers game I ran, I centered too much of the plot on one person. And that was a huge mistake on my part.
That's not a gaming story.
Yeah, that's a gaming note.
What are you guys defining as a gaming story?
I need more detail.
I want a detailed story about
we lifted the ban on gaming stories in general for the purpose of learning
and,
to teach these heathens out there.
And then you
I even know what the story is.
You just want me to
tell it? We're going to need this with like animation and voice acting.
I do want you to tell it. I gave my Rainbow Bridges story, and you're giving,
I want you to tell the story.
All right.
All right, there we go.
All right.
This better be good.
I'll pass out for this 5 minutes. Go!
All right. The story was this. There was a group of characters who were special ops soldiers. This is futuristic setting, so...
I don't believe it. Oh, wait, I was...
Yeah, you were there, dumbass. So, you know, think powered armor, machine gun, starship troopers sort of thing, except I'm talking the Highland novel here, not the movie, okay? So...
The Highlands?
So it's a bunch of talking about military virtues.
Yeah, so far... So far
now, in your Danvers game, like, are machine guns the most powerful gun ever, and they're more powerful than cannons and sniper cannons and heat rockets?
I'd have to go into the explanation of technology in Danvers to answer your question, which is a bonus episode we have yet to do. So
okay. No,
just say yes or no. That's easy.
The answer is yes and no.
We'll go with no.
I've heard it's
like
a bonus episode that you get every time you sit down for the game.
So
boom.
All right.
Next.
The problem that I had. Was I had at the party consisted of five players, three of which were guys I had been GMing with for years, who knew my style, who knew the universe, who knew what to expect, and then two new people who had never gamed with this game or really gamed under me at all before.
Correct.
And in my opinion, still haven't, because I can't get past about three games before they die. But the point being that I really wanted to draw these other people in. So specifically with Melina's character, I had a very early part of the plot center heavily around her, where there was this alien entity that kept messing with her mind, that kept trying to talk to her and con her into doing these sort of twisted things, and was just messing with her, because I presumed that one of two things would happen. That either, number one, she would try to investigate the mystery of why this is going on, or number two, she would tell the rest of the party, and she did neither. She just sat on it. And what ended up happening was basically the plot that's behind the scenes, the plot of the galaxy, the Uber plot, is progressing, and the characters themselves are going nowhere. They're just kind of wandering from place to place with no real context of what's going on. And this was my mistake, because I just presumed what this character was going to do, what this player was going to do, and gave no out for myself for, if she doesn't do what I think she's going to do, here's how I'm going to solve it. And that's a horrible GMing practice.
Okay.
Wow.
That was much better.
Much improved. I appreciate
blaming
it.
I still wanted to get in character.
Yeah, blaming Adam for the other ones. Like, oh, I'm a bad GM because Adam sucked that time. Yeah. It's like, that doesn't count.
That was much better. And you know what? You hear that? I hear the fans clamoring and saying, thank God Dan finally gave us a game.
I hear
story.
A sigh of relief, like, he is
Did
human.
You want me to provide some voice acting?
No, actually, no.
That's later.
Oh, that's yeah. later.
The gaming story I was going to tell you was even more cringingly worse. It just comes from when I was much younger.
I've got, I just came up with spontaneous.
Okay. I didn't know. I couldn't handle the players walking out of the area that I had drawn up. And so I just invented these invincible, spider-like, cannon-armed robots. And by cannon-armed, I don't mean cannon-armed. I mean like armed with a cannon. Robots.
Oh, where if that was a really cool image.
If they if they wandered off the beaten path, these things would just instantly kill them, and Here there was nothing dragons. They could do about it.
I played that in that game. We called it was Phil.
That was my friend Drew's Marvel Superheroes game. Oh, you're falling off the path. You get blue bolted. A bolt from the blue comes down and kills you. Oh well, I don't do that.
That
then.
Was Phil. It's a box canyon. One side goes up, and you can't see the top. And if you look to the left, the other side goes up and you can't see the top.
Well,
you can only go forward.
See, here's the
well,
thing.
What about backwards, Phil?
Is
There's
it,
a wall.
I was gaming.
Is there a thinny?
Here I'm going to praise my I'm going to praise my players. I was playing with a group of people that were tenacious, resourceful, and ingenious. And
thank you.
No matter what obstacles I put in their way, they figured a way out of the box canyon, and thus came the invincible spider
Unless
robots.
Adam was not in character and ruined the whole game.
No, I wasn't there.
Adam Rooms.
Adam was probably.
Now,
like
I'm pretty sure your players
old.
Were also handsome and
hey, listen,
charming.
Listen. I'm going to take a lot of flack for being a GM. And you know what?
You don't. People
I'm
say
okay
you're
with
good.
That. No, I'm okay with that.
I
because,
say he's okay.
Okay. Or say you're okay.
Honestly, at the end of the day, I'm okay. I've seen.
I say you lack experience.
I've seen much worse.
It.
I've seen a lot better. But I'm an
I
awesome player.
I think Dan
player.
Needs to praise the players in that game some more.
I mean, quite frankly. I think one of the greatest gifts I have is that I make other people have more fun.
Thanks, you're so you're, humble.
Dude, and that's what I bring to the table.
In all things in your life, you are a facilitator.
Oh, speaking of...
agree.
Taxing
you're a buffer class.
Taxing's humility made me think of his aviator shades. I'm going to link in the show... I'm going to link in the show notes. We did an episode. It was basically the Fear the...
Rimmer.
This was the Fear the Boot guys
yes.
plus Tony Mast did an episode of...
Unrated.
Of...
Top Gun.
Of... His show.
Did he finally put that up?
Yes.
Because I've been waiting for like months for him to post that episode.
We did a show of his Fanboy Smackdown where we talked about Top Gun at Gen Con.
Actually, you guys really gated it up. I don't know.
I say, fair warning.
No, I went on
not
the
there's anything wrong
top,
with that.
Top Gun episode.
Fair warning to anyone who listens to this. This was recorded at Gen Con.
Everyone was drunk.
We were extremely inebriated, and this was before... All of our promises to stop saying certain things and insulting certain groups of people. So if
it's
you,
Tony's feed, dude.
If you
explicit,
yeah, it's Tony's.
It's,
yeah.
a, it's an explicit feed. If you click this link, we are not responsible for what you hear, despite the fact that we said it.
I wasn't so, there. I take no responsibility or blame.
If you want to hear us go completely off the hook talking about Top Gun, I will link that in the show notes. You can go do over it. To Tony's feed and hear it. But like I said, fair warning.
Tony Mass last night, we had a meeting. He gave me a book for free. Go ahead and link it.
Yeah. What the hell? I'm feeling generous.
If you're offended by what you hear, I don't even want to hear it because you've been warned. So you're stepping on the line.
Toasted raviolo.
All right. Toasted.
Wait. Whoa. I have a spontaneous banter topic because I found something very interesting right here.
All right.
I found the note from the ladies episode. A script, if you will, about... Hi, I'm Mealy, and I don't need a spell to win your heart. And she spelled Mealy completely wrong.
Hey, read this one.
You know what?
Episode of
you know what the thing is?
Oh, and they spelled Lita wrong, too. Only one T.
No. Read the word next to it.
Dude, it's Lita.
Rouge. Lita. Rouge.
Hey, you did not edit the episode where I had to cut out where she says...
They have a pronunciation guide on here. Lid-ah.
Yeah, yeah. That's because I had to cut out where Katie's like, hi, I'm Lida. And I was like, no, please tell me you re-recorded.
Hi, I'm Vidania, and I'll do naughty things with my antlers.
Oh, druids
I have
so
the script
stupid.
I think is that a nice bag in your pocket, or are you just happy to see us? It's been a great...
Luke, I'm happy to see you.
I got a big stick. Oh, that's from the
All right.
Phil.
Gaming's... Luke, that's my penis.
That's my penis. Hey, I'm a Mario.
It's a Mario.
It's a Mario.
Dude, they spelled Carla
It's a me.
Wrong.
Mario. That's the penis.
It has a K.
Didn't Melinda just get like straight
Carla's
A's in law school?
Spelled with a K.
Wait, yeah, Carla is spelled with a K.
Yeah, that's a C.
Oh.
yeah, they did. All right. Okay, anyway.
Ladies podcast.
How embarrassing.
Get to
anyway,
D+.
Gaming, moving on.
Gaming stores. We want to talk about gaming stores. Actually, looks like we're not going to get to the intended topic we had for today, which is fine. It's
Adam has to come up with less content for the next show.
We're playing two ahead now because Texas won for the show after that. All right, but let's talk
Go ahead.
Let's talk about the FLGS Friendly Local Gaming Store. And I want to open this up with a sort of offer before we get to our topic on the Friendly Local Gaming Store, which is Fear the Boot, being a St. Louis podcast, is looking to form...
A Florissant podcast.
actually, St. Peter's. But we're looking to form a tight relationship with a local gaming store, basically a mutually beneficial thing.
It's not that we're looking to form a tight relationship with a local gaming store. We're looking to form a tight relationship with the local gaming scene.
Which is hard because there are disparate groups who have no meeting hub. There's no way to,
it would be awesome.
But already
if
many of the
under one banner.
But the point here being,
from that throne, I will watch
the local gaming stores at least are aware of.
Well, it's easier to get in touch with them because they're the central hubs.
Right, precisely. So they're aware of the gaming groups.
Too many hubs.
They're aware of the gaming groups. They sell the products. We, in turn, reach a mass market of people and et cetera, do what Fear the Boot does. If you are a local gaming store somewhere in the St. Louis metro area and you are interested in forming a partnership with us where we scratch your back and you scratch ours, and we actually do this actively, you stay in touch with us, we stay in touch with you, we support your events, you support ours, please get in touch with one of us, Luke, Tex, Adam, John, Dan at feartheboot.com, whoever you want, because that's something we're looking for right now. So let me start off with that. Now let's get to the subject of gaming stores. One of the first things that
I'm just going to say, when you said that we're going to do the thing that Fear the Boot, we do the thing that Fear the Boot does. Why is the first thing that came to my head was verbally masturbate?
Because that's what we do.
It's accurate.
All right.
I don't know.
Continuing. Dan was trying to argue until everybody's against him. Continue with your gaming story.
All right.
Continue with the glory. All right.
I'm going to pull up a picture here of the pretty girl that did voice acting on that Scourge of Worlds thing.
Go ahead.
I saw that shit.
Caroline.
You have that up as a tab. That's great.
And now. Go ahead.
I actually like this accent.
By the way, while we're completely segueing onto that topic, one question I've always wondered is, does anyone have or know where I can get a picture of the voice actress who did Lisa Hayes in Robotech? I've just always wondered what she looked like.
Dude, Google?
What the hell are you talking about? G-I-S-F-T-W.
How many windows of this woman do you have opened? Holy cow.
I'm opening them all just so you guys can
appreciate
it.
Her eyes polymorph relative to what she's wearing.
So anyway.
It's hot.
I'm laying on the ocean. Hello.
Your obsession
is actually fresh
on
my mind because I have discovered that my girlfriend is like awesome on a whole nother level.
Oh, God.
She likes Robotech.
Oh, well. Wait. You're still
We've
dating.
Been watching Macross
You're still
for like the
dating.
Last week.
All that stuff is awesome. All right.
Finish that thought. Come on.
I think it's better.
You're getting in trouble. That's a trouble statement.
All right. Anyway, gaming stores. one of the first things that the gaming store, well, let's talk positive here for a minute, offers a lot to the community because of the fact that in order to game, you obviously need people to game with.
Right.
And while I don't bash play by email or play by post, the preferred way of gaming for me and many other people still face to face. The gaming store serves as a great way of bringing together the local gaming community.
Because they sell the product, too. Right.
Because they sell the product. So gamers go in there. And so it's a great place to have a bulletin board for events, to have tables in the back for people to play, to, hey, did you
hear... Ultimately, it becomes a hub for gamers.
Did you hear about that new release from such and such company that, you know, fits exactly what you're looking for? And so they serve as...
Would you like to pre-order?
We're talking about the wrong type of gaming store.
That's a video gaming store.
That's a video gaming store.
I know,
store.
I worked at
But we're talking here about the... You know, this what could serve as a great central hub for the gaming community. And I think one of the greatest failings of all the gaming stores that I have ever had contact with, at least here in this area,
is community relations.
They don't do it.
I know, it's terrible.
You go in, you post something on their bulletin board, and within 30 seconds, they've torn it
down.
The
problem is that you post something on their bulletin board. The bulletin board is not a reliable source of mass communication. The bulletin board itself is a wishy-washy thing. None of the people in the store buy into it.
I found two of my good friends via a game I post on a bulletin board.
Hey, Luke, screw you. You offer evidence contrary to what I'm pontificating about.
One of them is one of my best friends. He was on a show recently.
I know. He's concerned about me being suicidal for some reason.
Yeah, a lot of people are. Thanks.
Well, it could have had something to do with the LiveJournal post you made about
suicide.
Yeah.
And then you taunt me about calling you, worrying about you.
Go, you I'd joke. Never, at no point did I taunt you about calling
good.
Me.
Okay, good point. You really didn't.
Nice.
Funny. Dan's flipping anyway, through images and he just got a funny one.
I think that there's an incredible amount of wasted potential gaming stores because there isn't a lot of draw into a community that they have an incredible amount of community draw and do nothing with it.
I agree that when I walk into a gaming... What, are you all right there, Luke?
I was about ready to fall over my chair,
Luke,
but I'm okay now.
Luke made a reflex check at two
right.
in order to stay seated.
When I walk into a gaming store, it strikes me, and for understandable reasons, that their first goal is to sell product. Okay, I understand that. You're a business. You stay in business by selling your products. Okay, I understand that. But, and Texas, this is something you can back me up on, the likelihood of someone to stay in any hobby and to keep purchasing products in any hobby is the amount of community relationship and friends that they have within that hobby.
Look, there's...
Oh, that's absolutely true. I mean, we have evidence at work that the likelihood of you resubscribing to Xbox Live is directly proportional to the size of your friends list.
I agree.
Or in EverQuest, the size or the likelihood of you continuing to subscribe to the game was whether or not you were in an active
guild. I
don't
even think that you need a professional subset of data. If you just look at the community forums for Fear of the Boot, it is directly proportional to the amount of interaction that you put into it. I mean, I surf the forums in two capacities. One, I have to moderate, which is a pain in the ass.
Right.
But on the other...
Not lately,
but whatever. On the other hand, I was talking to somebody the other day about community relations and all this stuff, and I was like, yeah, I spend 90% of my time not moderating and participating in the community. Not because I have to, because I want to.
Yeah, right.
And that draws me back.
Right.
I mean, every day, it makes me come back, and it makes me think, I want to go back.
When I was in college, there was a gaming store that was fairly close to campus. And so sometimes if I had an hour break between classes, it would take me longer to walk back home than it would to the store. And so the owner of the store would let some of us, you know, just hang out in the store with her. And she'd play like Spades or Hearts with us. And they had a table set up in the back and she'd let us, you know, come at night. And there's like a small group of people that she trusted to lock up. Then she'd let us run games in there at night.
We'll say text.
And consequently, though, we hung out in there all day, and I spent godly sums of money in that store.
Well, let's talk back, text, to something that you recall. This store's no longer in business, but if you remember the hobby shop here in St. Louis.
I do. I drove through it.
In that dark, dank, dingy
basement here's the point,
that
though.
We gamed in over and over and over.
Do you remember Ken, the guy that ran it?
Absolutely.
And do you remember how much time we spent upstairs walking up and down his aisles buying crap? Why? because we were gaming downstairs. Not because Ken was such a great guy. Not because every time we walked in, he hawked a new product. Not because he gave us some greasy sales pitch. But because he chose to serve as a hub for the community. And it's the same.
Although what I want to know is, was his revenue largely dependent on selling gaming products or on selling candy and soda? Because I'm pretty sure that I spent just as much money on his food as I did on his games.
But the point here,
that's counterproductive to our point, Tex.
But the point here being, though, that, you know, if you look at a shop and let's say they run a War Machine League or a 40K League or a D&D League or a Living Greyhawk League.
D&D League.
Or,
hey, I won a D&D tournament or, back in 2001. Thank
that's
you.
That's screwed up.
Or let's,
$50.
Let's hey. Say
fantasy shop.
Let's take
even, two of them. In fact,
let's take even our what current situation.
You know, I can no gaming stories. Dude.
The local gaming con.
It's a competition story.
Fear the Boot doesn't sell any gaming products.
Yeah, I got nothing to game.
If somebody
this.
Goes to the local gaming con and you guys are there with a banner up or selling your products, and somebody sits down at Luke's game is like, "Wow, Luke's right about Savage Worlds."
Because I am.
Then guess who they're going to buy
right,
it from?
Luke. Tell your sister you were right.
I get at least an email a week saying, "Hey, I bought Savage Worlds on your recommendation. You were right." I'm like, "Yeah, I know."
Yeah. But I acquired Savage
exactly.
Worlds on your
well,
gift. And you were right. It's
but,
good.
You know, I know what you're saying about the community, though, that
right.
this subset of culture is largely dependent on community relations and
or the strength of the community in general.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Not doing it is a shot in the foot.
Can I bring up one problem that every gaming store faces on this point? Is that...
Oversell?
No, not that. We have a very fragmented community. People are very tied to some games, and you can't serve, like, especially miniature games, you can't stock all that. It costs a huge amount of money.
Right. And that's,
it's really hard to tell what to support.
Inventory costs.
And if you
want
to stock a single plastic Space Marine, you have to carry the whole
I can't tell you how many stores. I've been involved in the War Machine community, at least tangentially, if not directly, in St. Louis since War Machine first was released, and there have been at least 5 or 6 stores that were like, this is the War Machine shop, and then something happened that I don't even know about, and all of a sudden we're going somewhere else because they closed.
Right, and believe me, I'll go on record as saying this, that one of the next interviews, maybe even the next interview we want to set up, is we want to get an owner or owners of some gaming shops on here to really tell us about some of the behind-the-scenes nuts and bolts that we as gamers, or even you guys out there in listener land,
is this
gamers,
your subtle way of telling me to set up that interview?
No, I'm not telling you to do this, but I'm just saying that the things that we don't even know about. And I know sitting here right now, there may be gaming shop owners or employees that are sitting there screaming at their MP3 players because of the things that we don't know. But
hey, you know what? If you are getting
in touch
with
us,
because Lord knows I am not looking for an opportunity to network in any way, shape, or form, and I would love to piss away the opportunities that you email me. What? That was sarcasm.
Yeah.
In case you couldn't tell.
So,
because I have a wide variety of resources at my disposal. But please use me like a cheap whore.
Look, you know that like a year and a half or two ago, the guy who runs the fantasy shop was voted one of the top 5 most powerful guys in like the gaming industry, right? Because
he
rules here, and there's a few stores he has up north too.
Yeah,
that most people like the
ago.
Fantasy shop.
But you want to know why I don't go to my friendly local gaming store for the most part? I have no reason to.
Yeah,
you don't buy games after 1992.
People
so
older than 25 never buy anything new or whatever.
No. But here's the point. Even if you want to say that, for supporting my home brews, I do buy a lot of things like figs. I do buy maps. I do buy things like, even in some cases, I'll buy rule books just because I cherry pick certain references or pictures or stats or maps out of them. So I would not say that, I don't buy anything new. Okay, yeah, granted, my vintage gaming library is well known by many people, but the point being that there are still gaming products I buy, but the reason that I hit something online is because of the fact that there is nothing about my friend the local gaming store keeps drawing me back, whereas I can say that if I go out to buy a cigar or to buy like pipe tobacco, I always go to the same shop. Why? Because the guys sit there, they talk with me about the products, they've got a TV on in the back, there's this sense of community that surrounds that particular tobacco shop that I don't get from the gaming store. And for a while there, it's like you were talking about, you know, with the places that stop supporting War Machine or whatever. And I really would love to see gaming stores in general get more involved in the local gaming community.
But we reached that point again where you can't support even close to every game. And here's my experience going to most of the gaming stores around here is you'll get a clerk or somebody who's there who really knows either A, comic books, or B, one or two games in general. But I cruise the net, man. I know stuff. I know a lot of games. And so most of the stuff they have to tell me is old news, and they don't know enough about to converse.
Okay,
you know?
Okay, fair enough. And I don't want to belabor this one point too much because
I'm Luke Meyer.
But like,
oh no, I mean the last time I was in St. Louis, I almost had to walk out of a store. I was in a video game store, and the clerk was telling somebody something about Xbox that was completely untrue. And I'm sitting there just rolling my eyes harder and harder. And I finally had to kind of say something. And he looks at me like I'm a complete idiot, and because I was going back to Seattle that day, I reach into my shirt pocket and I pulled out my badge. And
I'm from Microsoft. Stop talking right now. I'm commandeering this store.
No, it wasn't quite that bad.
I am buying your store just to close it down,
sir. You are inaccurate.
But no, let's go back though. You know, once again, I don't want to belabor this, but too much. Let's go back to when Tex and I were playing BattleTech in the basement of the hobby shop. BattleTech was a brand new game at the time, or not new, but it was still being supported.
Were you playing in like 77, 78?
No, so it's been like early to mid-90s.
That's not a new game.
I said at the time.
Uh-huh. No, in the mid-90s. Even
and that's
BattleTech
what I even, just corrected myself. Said, okay, not a new game.
But girls, shut up. Go.
I'm going to pull your hair now.
Can we just all agree that at the time the game was in production?
The point is, there were new books out.
How are you that?
There were new books out. There were new products being put on the shelf. FASA was still around, et cetera, et cetera. And the point is that we were upstairs buying the products, and Ken, from what I understand, he was a Grognard, or however you pronounce it. He was into
Grognard, yes.
He was into the war games. He liked pushing around Napoleonic figures and whatever. I don't think he knew a locust from a battlemaster.
I remember when Elf was a class,
a
not a race.
State of mind.
Why does that come up every podcast?
But
I hate that.
But
well,
the
I do
point
remember
being
it.
That
it
we were
awesome.
Still upstairs buying
like
his products.
Flex of the nerd world. That's what it
you're
is.
Gonna have to edit out for that now.
No, but we were still upstairs buying products because of the fact that he created that gaming community that he just kind of allowed to happen.
So let me go ahead and boil down everything we said in the last 10 minutes to listen. If you want to sell product, create a community. It's that simple.
And support the community that approaches you.
Create and maintain a community.
Right.
Here's my worst gaming store experience. We were playing a Living Greyhawk game. It's a game that's been set up for at least...
Wow, that's terrible.
At least 2 months, right? At one of the gaming stores in St. Louis. They're having a used gaming auction the same day as we find out coming in. It's like, oh, well, that's interesting. So they say, we can just sit in the back as long as we keep quiet. Numerous times, as we were not gaming very loudly, the store owner who was running the auction yelled at us for being too loud. It's like, look, we've already bought like at least between us all maybe $200, $300 worth of product today while you're running your auction. You know, come on. You know, we didn't say that.
That goes back to maintaining your community.
It's like, come on, don't treat us like we're jerks. We're patronizing your store. You're giving us a space to play. Give us a break.
There is some game store owners really treat you like you're just a butthole.
It's like a record store owner.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, oh, you don't know about the indie game X.
There is something to be said there because you would believe the number of emails or forum posts that we've gotten where people say the reason
I believe forum posts. I'm there more than you, buddy.
Check post counts there.
Yeah well, check I didn't come counts. In. I didn't start listening until like
you
episode 20.
You want to start
20.
Comparing numbers there, Chief? Yes. Oh. I'll go round for round with you.
You want to start comparing how many people have your picture as their avatar?
Yeah.
I win. Thanks, Jake.
Actually,
hey,
no.
You
actually,
and I are. Dan would have won about a week ago when everybody took his.
Everybody.
Not your avatar. Your face.
All right. Point being,
I'm tied with you, Chief.
All right. Point being,
who's got you?
Me.
Oh, that doesn't.
All right. Just to screw us up.
Cut that out.
Just to screw us up. Everybody post text is your forum avatar. Just so these guys will shut up and zip it up. But the point being here, the number of forum posts we have seen and the number of emails we have gotten from people. Where they basically say the reason that I shop on Amazon or the reason I shop on Do or Dice or whatever the hell is because of the fact that the guy who runs my local gaming store, I'm dropping the friendly intentionally, is basically comic book guy off of The Simpsons. That he's just this self-righteous, arrogant, condescending,
douchebag.
Douchebag.
This a-hole who hops a microphone and talks about how great of a GM he is for 80 episodes.
Or the worst, when I was in Kirksville, there was a guy there who owned, like, the dirt, like, used bookstore, where you'd walk in the afternoon, they were flying around a fake Zeppelin and drunk and rammed it into your friend's head, who would swear they were the guys who wrote Chivalry and Sorcery, which was big back in the 80s.
That actually kind of appeals to me.
Flying a Zeppelin?
My roommate has one of those remote-control Zeppelins, and it's
drinking
actually a blast.
Flying the Zeppelin and making outrageous claims about things that they could not possibly have ever
saying,
done.
Okay, Limbeck, I'm not saying that doesn't appeal to me, but the setting and the class level here is definitely lower.
The combination of the three appeals to me.
All right. We're going to go ahead and let this one die where it is, then. We will probably revisit this subject again at a later point in an interview episode. But thank you guys for tuning in. And we've got some plenty of topics lined up for future episodes, bonus episodes, and non-interviews. So we hope you'll stick with us, and we will catch you next time.
I love you.
This has been a production of Fear the Boot, copyright 2008, fully owned by its hosts. Our theme song was written and performed by Tim White. Listeners are free to use this show in any non-commercial endeavor as long as credit is provided to feartheboot.com. You can find previous episodes and other resources at feartheboot.com.